It's 8:30 in the morning at the Bernardo Wildlife Refuge just south of Berlin. Small flocks of sandhill cranes fly to and fro in search of breakfast. Not that it's that hard to find. All the corn at this state-owned sanctuary has been planted just for them, courtesy of New Mexico hunters. Even though crane hunting has been happening in New Mexico since the 80s, many people are still surprised, even shocked, when they find out it's legal. That may be because of the crane's history. In the early 1940s, only a handful of greater sandhill cranes wintered in the middle Rio Grande Valley. Since then, thanks to habitat restoration and crop manipulation, the population has surged. Joseph Sands is the game bird program manager for New Mexico's Game and Fish Department.
We winter about 20,000 of them on average here, and we're trying to make sure that the harvest of those is sustainable from year in and year out. And in order to do that, what we do is we cooperate with the Fish and Wildlife Service in monitoring the harvest of the greater subspecies of sandhill cranes to make sure we don't go over our quota, because each state in the flyways is assigned a quota that they can harvest each year.
In New Mexico, this year's quota is about 550.
Hey, how you doing? Hey, doing pretty well, looks like.
To make sure the state is in compliance with that number, the refuge houses a check station where hunters bring their birds to be looked over by Sands and his team of volunteers.
For each bird, what we do is we first identify its age, and so birds with a red bald head are adults.
Sands picks up a 9-pound crane to point out its different features.
We look at the eye color, and we have a chart for that. We measure the wing cord, which is basically from its elbow down to the end of its longest primary flight feather. We measure the tarsus, which is the bird's ankle.
These detailed measurements are necessary in order to tell the difference between the two subspecies of sandhill cranes, known as lesser, of which there are more than 300,000, and greater, whose numbers are more limited and therefore subject to the quota.
So what was that?
197.
As the volunteers do their work, hunters sit nearby in the beds of their trucks, keeping a watchful eye on their birds and sharing recipes.
The one thing about waterfowl and these both, you don't want to overcook it.
Mark Nesbitt from Navajo Dam says he's been coming here to hunt crane for the last 7 years.
Well, it's called Ribeye in the Sky is the nickname for it. It's kind of a little bit more like beef, not so much like duck or goose. But it makes very good fajitas, burgers. You can roll them up in strips with jalapeno and wrap them with bacon.
Van Lewis from Bosky Farms says this is his first year hunting crane, but he's already looking forward to trying it out for Thanksgiving.
We're going to cook one tonight, kind of experiment, see what we're going to end up with, and then Thanksgiving we'll do these along with turkey. I'm going to do a couple along with turkey, because most people aren't going to like the wild game, maybe, you know, most of the guests, so we have to have something for everybody else that's not really quite into it.
About a mile away, Melody Bell has come out to do some birding in the refuge. She lives nearby and talks with excitement about her finds on these frequent walks.
Bluebirds, eagles, coyotes, deer, elk.
Hunters talk often about their role in conservation, and Bell says she gets it.
I understand the concept, and I understand that the flocks do need to be thinned because they do die from other causes as well. And I know that a lot of people enjoy that, and they say it's very good eating, but I'm not a hunter.
And like a lot of New Mexicans, she's never tried crane.
I don't think I ever will.
On the Conservation Beat, I'm Sissel Overgaard, KUNM.